At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One. Hello, friends, and welcome in. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. Same on the Instagram, if you would like to do. Usually Instagram is a little bit more photos of me with players and goofy stuff, where Twitter is a little bit more aligned to a lot more videos and me interacting. But you can follow me on both of those as well on the Patreon at InThisLeague.com, where, by God, the top 500 prospect list was updated this week. Yes, it were last week. It was top 500 prospects, also by team, by position, top 400 dynasty in there. And I even posted a first run of my amateur ranks, draft ranks, for essentially like a first round. And I'm going to just kind of continuously be adding that. We got P180P stuff out there. Actually, Tim and I probably need to be talking about getting a P180P going here in the very near future. And let's bring him in. Tim Kanak, Fantasy Ace Ball, hosting with me today. It's just me and him talking about some AAA. We got the prospect 10 and a little bit of scouting. Tim, what's up, brother?
Oh, not much. Just walking on water right now because pre-podcast, we were talking about I had a car accident last week and my truck got totaled. And luckily, I'm like not hurt at all. And I'm just like, oh, like, I'm
was
like,
was it
okay,
an old truck or like a new truck?
No, it was less than a year old. So and of course I paid the whole thing off like a dummy. So now they're going to give me like,
so your gap 70%
of the value or whatever, even though I just paid the whole thing off, but I feel blessed regardless because I'm like, okay, I'm not hurt. It could have been a lot worse. It was an accident on the highway at high speed. And I'm just like, walk out of the truck. And I'm just like, okay, like this truck's gone. I called the police and I'm like, hey, it smells like fire. They're like, go away from the truck.
Move.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So I jumped up on like the wall thing, you know, in between the highway. And I'm just like hanging out on the wall thing while everyone came, the police and everybody came. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty lucky. And definitely it helps when something like that happens with your life. It gives you some perspective. Like it sucks that I have to do all this insurance stuff now. But it's like, if that's the least of my concerns, like things could have been a lot worse. So I'm feeling pretty
good. Yeah, so your perspective, you're like, it doesn't matter that Quinn Matthews is only at high A, like that you put Quinn Matthews in perspective then now.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, the important thing, number one priority for me anymore to go bash the Cardinals for keeping Quinn.
Yeah, exactly. You're like Quinn Matthews. Yes, he's 23 and he's at high A, but like, it doesn't matter. He's really good. And you know, life flashed before my eyes. Car accidents are the absolute everything about it is so bad. And well, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad it wasn't when you were trekking out with the kids to a game to see any players or anything like that. But we'll try to lift your spirits by talking about a bunch of these prospects. We'll try to lift everybody up doing that as well. You can find him at Fantasy Ace Ball, me at Is It The Welsh. You guys want to interact with us, him on the East Coast, me on the West Coast. And I do wish, you know, if your truck was in a good spot and not in a crunched up ball, I would tell you, get your ass over to the Twins right now. Excuse my language, but get over to the Twins because today is complex rehab day on the East Coast where Jeffrey Springs, not Twins, with the Rays is going to pitch in complex, which is huge. I'm excited about, but that Twins complex, you've got Walker Jenkins and Brooks Lee both going out. How far are the Twins from you? Because we've already established, like for me, I can get to any of the Arizona parks in 45 minutes. You sometimes you're like, oh, that's 4 hours away. Where would the Twins be for you?
They're on the West Coast. So basically Florida is kind of like three little areas. You have like five of the teams are on the East Coast of Florida, which I'm on. Then you have five teams on the West Coast of Florida, which when you say West Coast in Florida, everyone gets what you're talking about. They're like, oh yeah, like Naples and Tampa and all that.
Yeah, see, we just say West side. Coast. We say east and west yeah. side of the valley, which is literally 30 to 40 minute drives.
Yeah, see, for me, it's like across, it can differ. So like for me to get to Fort Myers or Naples, which some of the teams are at in that area, is like two and a half hours. But all the way up to Tampa is like 4 hours. And then some of the teams are in like Central Florida, which is not that bad. That's only a couple hours for me. But then I have like Marlins, Cardinals, Astros, Nationals, Mets are all within like 30 minutes from me. And the good thing is that the teams are always playing each other. It's not like the five teams are only playing, you know, oh, it's always Cardinals versus Marlins every single game. No, like they're traveling. So like you'll get the Red Sox over here and the Yankees over here. So I'll still be able to hit these teams pretty easy when they're just playing over on this side of the state. So it's not necessarily like, oh, if you want to see them, you have to travel. It kind of just depends on what the schedule is looking like.
It's so interesting too, because like out here, sometimes these guys are so close, they just get in these like white vans. They'll get like three or four vans and they'll, you know, pack up the players and go. They will take buses, but again, their bus rides are 40 minutes maximum or something like that if they're going from Tempe over. But it's a great complex day there. Out here, I'm going to be, I think today I might even go out and try to go see some Robert Kalas. Rockies are playing right down the street. So he's a guy we've been talking about. But I have been out. And one pivotal fun moment, which you and I were talking about before, because it is fun in our little prospect world when someone you know does something that everyone shares. And I got one of those. Those are my favorite. Felnin Celston got his first career homer the other day over in Peoria. And I wish I had stayed because he hit another home run. And that one got shared, but Felnin shared it on his Instagram. No love to me. Luckily on Instagram, I watermarked my thing as everybody was sharing it. Twitter, I didn't stupidly, but that was my video. And it's a great video, by the way, because of multitude of things. The way it doesn't come off, I realize it because I will film, but I'm not watching my camera. I'm watching him. It doesn't come off as much as it was in person from the video, but like, he was ready for something low and that pitch rose and he came up, like he adjusted his body up and absolutely bullied that fastball to center 400 plus feet, demolished it. And that was him adjusting mid approach up, and it doesn't quite come across. That was amazing. And then also the horns go off, as you were telling me, you hear in the video, you hear the horns go off, and not seen in there is that team has a trident. I was standing out in the front of the complex, not a human being is there. And this one coach just walks by with the huge trident and he looked and smiled. And I'm like, you look good with that trident. And he laughed because that's their celebration trident. So, I mean, they put out all the theatrics of it, but the main thing to talk about, not here, as exciting as it was for me to be there for his first career homer and to get it, is Felnin Celston has been on an absolute tear. Those homers, multiple stolen bases, hitting over 400 so far on the year. And I'm telling you, I was talking with somebody about this where they're like, oh, who are the best guys out in complex? And I'm like, Felnin's the best. I mean, the physical body, the approach as far as he is constantly getting hits, pure raw power is there. We're kind of on full display. It really is reminiscent to me of the good old complex days, that Felnin is not going to be long for complex ball in my eyes, Tim.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is do you think he's going to stay there for the whole complex league, or is he going to be an A-ball soon? Because he's destroying, and it's not even just the production, it's also the plate approach, more walks than Ks. So that's what you want to see, more walks than Ks, bombs, stolen bases. He's making adjustments like you had mentioned. I mean, I was going to say to you, when I was watching your video, even the way he adjusted on the ball, like the way his toe was and his front foot, it looked like a little Soto-ish to me. And I don't like just the way he adjusted on it and like almost like the mechanics. Like, do you think he's almost like trying to replicate the Soto type approach when you watched him? Or is that just something that I kind of noticed, like watching his foot? Cause I watched that video that you posted quite a few times and I'm like, what do you do with his foot there? It kind of like reminds me of Soto.
I actually think that was in part of the adjustment. I don't think it's, I kind of get what you're saying. Maybe there are some similarities in it, but I think that also became about like how I viewed that was an advanced eye of what was coming. Like, I think he was setting up for something. Something else came and he adjusted on the fly, which caused some of that. But I think like where you're going with it is interesting because like this guy can run. He has a pretty mature body already.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league...
And a massively advanced hit tool that I think the sky's the limit. And that's why like I'm aggressive in my rank. And you know, he's tough and I always think when we talk, I think about like the Otno world of view. He's really not that interesting there because he's still like a million miles away. And I was having a discussion offline with somebody where they were watching Felnin going, and they said to me, they're like, man, I hope they don't trade Felnin. And I was like, what? I'm like, do you even think that's a possibility? And it was like, well, no, but someone's going to go. One of these guys is going to go between the Colt Emerson and Ty Pete and Felnin and maybe not the Farmellos. And then you start to piece together, like, who would it be? I don't think it's Felnin. I think he might be one of the most impressive offensive bodies. It's tough out here because it's like, you know, it's bad pitching. You know, there's a couple good pitchers. You know, you get a couple major league, like, or not major leaguers, but high end minor leaguers. I'd love to see him go against like Logan Henderson, who was out there, even, you know, Johnny Cueto, if he was pitching. But I just think everything seems advanced with Selston. And I think he's going to, I don't think he stays down here for long. I don't think it makes sense for them outside of just roster or manipulation or whatever it is. I think you move him up. He's also like best friends with Lazaro. Those guys were inseparable during spring training. So I think it would make a lot of sense, but it would also probably be like Colt has to move. This is what I think happens. I think Colt moves up and then Felnin takes his spot, like that type of thing. Like, you know, like everybody moves up a spot and that in turn moves Felnin out there. So I don't think July, the last month of Complex, he's out here anymore. And I think that's a good sign.
It's interesting. The Mariners, sometimes they're aggressive. Like you see Cole Young, 20 years old, already in Double A. But then Harry Ford, they were kind of like conservative about. So it's like some guys they get aggressive on and then some other guys they don't. So what is it do you think they're looking for that makes them be more aggressive when promoting some players over others?
I think the hit tool. I think the hit tool is part of it. I mean, Cole Young's hit tool is advanced. I think defensively catcher is a lot more difficult. I think that probably plays a pretty big role in it as well. Yeah, I think it's like defense and offense hitting a check mark. And if they don't, they kind of hang back. Colt Emerson's has been injury. I think guys like Farmello and Pete are going to deal with consistency, but I think like Emerson's a guy that's going to keep moving. And Cole Young is one of that. I didn't even mention him. Cole Young is one of those guys as well. Like that's a really solid hit tool, good defender that, you know, checks those boxes. So what is he going to earn at the lower levels? Like, what do you want Farmello and Pete to do better? You want them to probably strike out less. And like, get on a streak where they can consistently hit the ball. Like Emerson kind of already does it. Lazaro does that. Like Lazaro and Colt should be the guys that move up. And then you could bring up the Felnins, challenge these players, be willing to challenge your players. But also I'd throw out, there is a advantage from a owner or a manager of a team. If you have players at levels that they were going to highly succeed at, boy, does that help their trade value. If you are somebody, if you, oh, I don't know, let's just hypothetically say the Mariners are run by a manager that an ownership that loves to trade players every other day. You might benefit from players putting up monster numbers at lower levels if you are going to plan to move them. So where you would want to challenge, maybe you would just want things to look really good on paper. You know what I'm saying there, Tim?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Only other guy I want to mention in my little scouting run here. I've seen some interesting players like George Wolko. I've seen play multiple times. Love him. Quintero with the Dodgers. I really like him. Yohandri Vargas. I finally got to like really see. He is a very impressive body type. Oh, you know who the other guy was? Oh, man, I'm going to butcher his name, and I've got to find him real quick. He is the Dodgers 18-year-old pitcher. I'm going to pull it up here. The Japanese kid that came over. He actually looks like Ohtani. And I got to get his, like, who suck when? I got to pull up his name here. But I saw
Korean,
him
pitch. Right? Isn't he
Korean?
Korean?
Yeah, there you go. The Korean guy. Yeah, exactly. If I can get the Dodgers roster to pull up here. I watch him pitch an inning. It is, yeah, Hoo Suk Jang. He looked awesome the other day. Big physical guy, powering fastballs. I really, really liked him. And I think this was against the Angels that he was going. He was eating up guys left and right. But he's not even the player I want to talk about. The guy I wanted to mention is a Diamondback to keep on your mind. Yasiel Soler. Very impressive. I actually, I put one video out. I've got some other stuff. He just missed a homer in this game against the White Sox the other day. But Soler is 18 years old. They list him at 5'11", 185. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's closer to 6 foot, maybe 190. He's got this upright stance. He gets to the ball really quick. He's hitting 439 out here in Complex. Four walks, only 8 strikeouts. He has a stolen base, 7 extra base hits of his 18, but he doesn't have a home run, and he just missed one. Yasiel Soler, I don't want to say Christopher Torin in them because then, but my point is he might be the guy that a lot of people didn't know about who might be a player that's going to come out of this Complex in a really positive light. So for you deep, deep, deep prospect people, Yasiel Soler, Yasiel Soler with the Complex level Diamondbacks, very impressive, stood out to me. So the Korean pitcher with the Dodgers, Hyun Suk Jang, and Yasiel Soler, two players that have really stood out to me over this last week besides Fellman that maybe everybody should know about. So there you go. There's a little bit of scouting. That'll be fun. And Tim, do you have any, I mean, your truck just got destroyed and imploded. I would say, do you have any teams that you're looking or any players you're looking to get to in the next week?
I haven't even looked.
Quinn Matthews.
I'm going to definitely be hitting a couple games this weekend. We've got Memorial Day weekend, so we have a nice little 3-day weekend to try to hit up some games, but I have not even looked. I've been dealing with the insurance thing and it's just like, wow. But yeah, definitely have plans to do things. Just have not made such plans yet.
Get us some Walker Jenkins is what we should do. All right, let's jump into some AAA highlights. We're going to do that this week. We're going to highlight the players that are getting close to the majors. And then we're going to jump into the prospect 10 over on the hitting side. How about Junior Caminero? We always got to talk about Caminero, whom is still not called up, but did play second base. That was a big key and a pretty exciting thing to start seeing. Caminero hitting over 300 on the season, has 7 homers. Really, the bat has been live across the board.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league
is cooking.
But you and I have been pretty hyper focused on that article that came out about, like, when are they going to bring him up? My speculation, by the way, Tim, I didn't realize how close it is. I had speculated that May 24th was going to be the day that the Rays called him up. And the reason behind that was needing that influx in offense. And they have a day off before that game. And that would be the perfect transitional period. And they go home, that they would do that. But we have absolutely no signs of it. So I don't talk to me about that. That call-up day is only a couple days away, but also your thoughts on Caminero as of recent.
Yeah, make that Memorial Day weekend money, right? Get Caminero up and get that stadium packed for once and make some money this weekend. That's what I say.
See, logic. But,
yeah, it makes sense. I think we mentioned before that if you can't figure out why something has or hasn't happened or why is this? Usually the answer comes down to money somewhere down the line. So Junior Caminero, the reason he's not up yet, money. The reason of when he will come up, money. So Memorial Day weekend, that's a money weekend. Let's bring him up. Yeah, second base, I don't know. I think I saw that Brendan Lau is supposed to come back.
I'm literally looking at it as we speak. The Rays, this as we're recording this, as it matters. It was like 2 hours ago. They reinstated Lau from the 10-day IL, and then they actually just put Eflin on. So I don't know if there's more moves to be made there, but they did bring back Lau, which does not help the cause.
No, definitely does not, unless you're just going to be moving pieces around. I think Lau was only playing against righties anyway, which is weird because he hits like third for them, but he's only playing against righties.
Maybe so, you could platoon him, platoon a little Caminero and Lau. That would be a good situation.
Yeah, or you just mix him in, just get him mixed in there with Lau and Paredes and do like a whole little super platoon where they're just kind of moving around from different spots. I think that might be the move for them. So we'll see. But, you know, he's raking and it's time to get him up. And at this point, there's nothing really to gain by keeping him down there anymore. So just bring him up and make some money, I think.
Who do you have higher, Caminero or James Wood?
I have Caminero higher.
Like in all respects, production Caminero, this year and future?
Yeah, Caminero is my number two to White Langford.
Okay. Oh, so you're I forgot you're a Jackson Chourio hater. You hate him.
Yeah, I do. Well, I just don't like his plate skills. Yeah. I think I like him more long-term than like right away. Because at the beginning of the year, I kept saying, I was like, look, people think he's going to come up and just be, you know, 25, 35 or 25, 40 or whatever. But like, I was like, he's just going to do what Anthony Volpe did last year. And he's pretty much doing that. Like bad batting average, bad plate skills, but power and speed is there. So
yeah, that was my big take too, is I thought like the batting average was going to struggle where a lot didn't. The only problem is like, it's all garbage. So it's like, there's no wins. Like I was a little like, oh, you know, but it's all built around Jackson Holliday. I personally need Jackson Holliday to come back and hit like crazy to really feel better about myself. For my own self-esteem, for my mental health, I need Holliday to come back and do that to feel really good. Cause all the other guys are just eh. But this is it's a backup quarterback syndrome of like, we've seen all these other guys. We know what we have. We haven't seen Caminero and James Wood. So like, I could see people being like, they're the number one and two prospect overall. And it's like, I don't know. But I mean, Caminero, it's more likely than not it's going to be June, but I'm holding out those little tiny hopes. And really, it's not critical, but you want to see him continuously hitting well. And, you know, he's doing that right now. Batting average is still up. Got a homer. He's not striking out. Like everything is working well. And he's working a new position. That's a big positive.
I think he's going to be more consistent than Wood is the thing. I think Wood is going to might have the bigger seasons, right? Like he might have these crazy seasons, but I just think Caminero is going to be consistent. Like every year you're going to get very good production out of him. Whereas like Wood, it just might have a season where he hits like 220, like a Stanton like season or something. And then he might have a season where he goes off and has 40 bombs and 20 steals and, you know, just completely destroys. But I think especially being a big lefty, like it's tough. It's already tough being a big player, but being a lefty on top of it, like makes things a little tougher because of, even though the shift is banned, right? Like there's still shift factors that affect lefties in my opinion. And then talking about Jackson Holliday, what about Kobe Mayo? This is the other guy I wanted to talk about for AAA guys, for hitters. And I had been on this thing where I'm like, well, I just don't think we're going to see Mayo until the trade deadline, because I think that the Orioles are going to want Holliday to come back up first. But the way that Holliday is hitting right now versus Mayo, Mayo is like way out producing him at the AAA level. Do you think there's any chance that Mayo comes up before Holliday gets his second shot? Because at first I thought there's no chance. And then now I'm like, ooh, I don't know anymore. Like it's getting kind of close.
Well, there's one caveat to it. I was going to jump in there with it. The why I would say no is, I don't know if you saw it, Kobe Mayo has a rib fracture. So ooh. Kobe, yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for a...
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
That's $4.
About this is this... I had this conversation with Eno Saris on ITL this week. We did a whole episode. We docked 40 minutes about bat track and the bat tracking stuff. And what has been the kind of inverse as guys are trying to hit the ball faster? Oblique and rib injuries. And that's what Tristan Casas just suffered from. I don't know if this is a direct correlation, but I think he's going to be, and I hope I'm not making this up because I swear to God, I just saw it, but I believe it's a rib fracture that, yeah, so he, it's like a broken, he suffered a fractured rib and is going to be out for a couple weeks. Because had this not happened, I'd have said yes. I do think, like, it's an easy Westberg over at second base, and your shortstop is obviously covered, and Kobe Mayo just comes in at third. But the rib fracture really puts some stuff into question. And also, like, is there going to be any adjustment? Are these guys going to change how fast they're swinging off? Can you even, like, how long is it going to take for you to get back to being, we don't have the bat swing data on Kobe Mayo, but you can visually see he's going to be in the upper echelon of guys that swing the bat really freaking hard. I'd guess in the 74, maybe even 75 mile per hour territory on average would be his average number. And there is a correlation to bigger physical guys having those oblique and rib injuries. That is their little version of Tommy John. So that puts a big wrinkle into the whole process. So that also might hinder him even more and might be the secret benefit for Jackson Holliday in the near term if they were to make it. But Jackson Holliday also hasn't, like, really been well since he's been sent back down. I don't think the production, it's been nothing like Mayo's. So here's a bigger question. Do you think a guy like Connor Norby could jump Holliday if they were to need somebody? Because Mayo's kind of out of the equation right now.
Yeah, I think it might require an injury. Because even like Heston Kjerstad already went down and he's already smashing bombs again. I think he's already at two. He's been down for what, a week, less than a week already? Two bombs again. So yeah. I think if they need someone back up that's just like a hitter, it would be him. I think if, you know, they lose a middle infielder, they still have guys that they can backfill. They've got Arias and Mateo is still there. So they've got some backfill guys that they can just kind of pop in there for something small. And now if somebody has a major injury, like if Westberg is out for 2 months or something, then yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Well, a positive too, by the way, is the injury happened by him like jumping for a ball into the dugout and he fractured his rib there. And he's already said the words, I think he said it today, I'm very optimistic that the injury won't be a very long thing and that I'll be able to come back sooner than what a lot of people are thinking. So the only thing I would just come back to what I just said is like bat speed with rib injuries. There's the correlative thing that you really do hope it's a quick return because that might stifle some of the production early on, but maybe not. But either way, yeah, it puts a little hindrance into Kobe Mayo right now.
I think look at Lars Nootbaar, because Nootbaar hit a wall and broke some ribs at the beginning of the season. And then when he came back, he was pretty bad. And now he's finally like getting going the last couple of weeks. So it might take him, even when he is back, a couple of weeks to kind of get into the groove and really get moving again the way that, you know, you want to if you're playing max effort.
That's exactly right. Going over to the pitchers, a lot of conversation. We've been talking about him. I've been talking about him a decent amount in my prospects to stash stuff. Cade Povich with the Orioles. Just the problem is like every AAA guy is an Orioles guy. So it's like how much, you know, where is the space for it? It's probably going to take another injury to take somebody down. But Cade Povich has been one of the better arms in AAA now that, you know, we've got Skeens up. We've got some of the guys that are up. On the season, got a 2 ERA, K-minus walk percentage, pretty good. Relatively low swinging strike percentage. It's really been about walks. It's maintaining walks for him. And this last week, there's been a whole lot of that, Tim.
Yeah, 15 Ks, one walk, and 10 and a third. He had two starts this week, one good start, one bad start. But even with the bad start, still 15 K to one walk ratio. You'll take that all day. And we've talked about it. Like the ERA is not really the big important thing that you're looking at when you're looking at pitching metrics in the minors. These are just a lot of weird variables. Like you've got the, you know, different ballpark factors that are kind of strange and he's not in the PCL, so he's not dealing with that whole mess. But there's still all kinds of weird little factors when you're in the pitching in the minors versus the majors.
But I'm a big Povich fan. Like if he were to come up, I'd want to stream him. I'm probably going to avoid like rougher, tougher matchups. But you know, I think he can perform at like a Robert Gasser level from a redraft perspective. But you know, he looks like he's on the precipice here in the pretty near future.
Let me throw one at you. If you had to bet on one guy right now, would it be Cade Povich or David Festa for like a redraft reason?
Oh man. Yeah. A lot of people have been bringing up Festa too. There's another one of those guys. It's like walk strikeouts and stuff. I think I would say Povich, and I might be wrong because there might be a better, there might be a better opportunity for Festa at this point. I guess I'd have to relook at the rotation, but I feel like they've had a couple things work in their favor as far as the Twins have and some of the minor league rotation stuff. But I guess I would lean Povich, but I am very highly reliant on someone getting hurt for him to take a spot rest of season. Are you Festa?
I think I am just because of the opportunity. I feel like Orioles are, if Povich is going to come in and make an impact this season, it's going to be because of an injury. And I think Festa just has a more clear opportunity. Like Chris Paddock isn't going to pitch 160 or 180 innings or whatever this year. Like he's, even though he's pitching pretty well right now, like he's coming off an injury or he had TJ, didn't he? Yeah. So like he's maybe 120 innings. So like he's just not long for this world. And we saw Louis Varland already getting blown up again. So I think that he's probably next up in the event something happens. And Simeon Woods Richardson's already up. So
yeah, I guess Simeon Woods Richardson was one of the reasons why it's like, I don't know how much they would want to push like young guys into the rotation. And that's working. Had that not worked. Yeah. And you might be right. I think those are some pretty tough ones, but interestingly enough, one of the guys you have on this list, I think maybe even could beat both of these guys, is Adam Mazur with the Padres, who just got called up to AAA. So far on the year, sub 2 ERA, sub 1 whip, K minus walk percentage, solid, almost a 14% swinging strike rate on the year. And he was just so good. You know, they moved him up, but you do have PCL numbers in general. But this is a guy, I feel like the move up was for a reason. Because I always thought Robbie Snelling would be the guy, but I think this team is telling us that Mazur is going to be the next guy given the opportunity and not Robbie Snelling. And with the Padres, it's kind of a domino. So I think we could see Mazur within the next month is a real possibility.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm a fan, and PCL, it's just going to be interesting to see how he handles it. His first start there, pretty good. 6 innings, 6 Ks, 2 walks. So he handled it pretty well this first time around. We'll see. If you see inflated ERAs, I wouldn't really be that concerned as long as the K minus walk ratio is still there and he's kind of handling the whip and not getting like blown up by a ton of hits. Like you're going to run into homers in the PCL. But if he's just not getting, you know, hit 10 hits against him or whatever, and he can keep the whip in check and keep the walks down, I think you're right. I think we'll probably see him pretty soon because even that rotation, the Padres rotation, like Darvish is older. Musgrove has been having injury issues here and there. So I don't, I mean, Cease even got hit up today, but he's been like impossible. He's been so good. But there's going to be something that happens. And if something happens that's longer term, they're not going to use a filler. They're not going to just have Brito come up or whatever, or Velasquez or whatever. I think that would be the guy.
Yeah. And there's also something to be said in like shorter term stuff that might be a trading opportunity for people. Like Mazur's stock is moving up, and not to say that he's not going to work, but you know, stock is moving up and the pre call up might be a really great time to even move off if you're looking to, you know, make a big move. Also, Reverse. I always screw up his name. Sim Reverse.
Yeah, it's like Reversa. He's actually from Denmark, this dude. He's not even American.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect 1.
The Prospect 10. 10 prospects in a, you know, who've been hot. These are guys that are jumping up there for us to create a little conversation around. And this is perfect. I forgot to bring this into a conversation piece we had a little bit earlier, but wouldn't you know it, coming in at number one on the prospect 10 is the guy that I wanted to mention, Carson Williams with the Rays, who is at AA and did make, he was the headline, actually piece of art on the Fantasy Pros video. If you want to go check it out on the prospects to stash, is Carson Williams. So many reasons to be interested in him. One of the most is I really thought there was a chance that he was going to kind of fail this year offensively. I mean, I will not lie to you. One of the least impressive based on expectation players in the AFL was Carson Williams. he was not impressive at all. The most impressive thing was talking with him, was his poise in an interview, even though he wanted to get out of the interview to go play Fortnite. He said it. He was a nice guy, but he made bad decisions while he was there. He overswung everything. He got beat up by low off-speed stuff. I was not optimistic about his offensive profile, but he did really like not take it serious there. It's just kind of another thing and blah, blah, blah. So, and he even said like he was not concerned about that process. And I think working with Morgan Insberg, a coach in the system, made things a little bit easier on him. So full throttle go to now. He's hitting almost 350 in AA, double-digit walk percentage, 7 homers, 10 stolen bases. His counting stats are going berserk. And the thing that I was going to mention earlier, Tim, was I think it is fascinating that Caminero is going to second because, you know, I don't think he wanted to do it a bunch, but a ton of what we talked about with Carson Williams was Junior Caminero, and he raved about Caminero. They have a great relationship. You know, he had said in the interview, if you know, one wants to talk about defense, Caminero comes to me. If we want to talk about offense, I go to Junior. And moving Caminero to second with a plus defensive player in the future at shortstop in Carson Williams, who has a relationship, I think is an interesting dynamic for the future run of this, because Carson Williams probably going to play some short this year and is a plus-plus defender. And that support of a plus defender with a guy like Caminero at second, I think kind of helps also with just the rapport. And it's a small little tie-in, but I look at it as an overall plus that Caminero really could play second and they might trust it because of what they have in the future in Carson Williams.
Yeah, I think so too. Just killer tools, right? Like this is, even last year, looking at him, I'm just like, okay, we have a bunch of tools here, a lot of power, a lot of speed, and a lot of defense. But where's the hit tool? And that's the one thing that even like now, I'm just wondering, because he still has a 437 BABIP, like where is this hit tool going to kind of normalize? Because he's just destroying AA right now. It's his second time in AA this year, so he's a repeat guy. He actually saw a little bit of AAA last year. And even AA, he was only in for 6 games last year. But I think he's just too advanced for this level. And I want to see how the hit tool settles in at the next level. Even if he's going to be, he might be seeing better pitchers at AA than he will at AAA. But when you're in AAA, he's probably going to see pitchers that are going to be throwing not just high stuff, like high velocity. You might see more like the vet type guys who are throwing different pitches, and it might be good to get more breaking balls in there and see how he handles them. But this week, 10 for 21, 8 extra base hits, 3 bombs, 2 steals. He has 21 extra base hits on the season now, 7 homers and 10 steals, which is maybe the most impressive stat line in all the minor leagues right now. Very possible. But yeah, I just want to see how it, like, this BABIP is definitely not sustainable. So where does he settle in as a hitter? Is he like a future 250 hitter? Is he better, worse? Like, can the BABIP, is he just going to run high BABIPs? Like, what do you think about the hit tool here?
Yeah, this has always been my question, is the hit tool. You know, a lot of people would pick on like, oh, he's rated so high in the counting stats and stuff like that. But exactly what you said, like 250 average, you'd stick around. What I think is interesting about him is the anomaly so far-ish of his career before this year was that like that AA stint where he hits 429 and he struck out less than 20% of the time. And then we kind of like stepped into, and they had a little bit of a AAA, and then you step into complex league and then he really struggled his ass off. And then you come to this season, he's dominating again. So you're seeing these different dynamics of high batting average, low strike. I mean, here's a correlation. When he strikes out less, he's going to hit some high batting average, and he has loud tools. He can run, and he definitely can run. He showed that off in the AFL. But I think tapping into the power is a tougher thing. I don't personally believe he's a high batting average guy. So I in turn think that limits the offensive potential, but maybe he becomes a Volpe. You know, I love Anthony Volpe, but look, what did Volpe do? Like, you know, you can hit under 230 with 20/20 like that. Carson Williams has that potential, and he's an A-plus defender. And that's what I give him a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt, because the defense, when you're a plus defender it's going to give you more opportunities to stay at the major league level. And some guys don't have loud tools like Mason Wynn, your guy, your Cardinal guy. I love Mason Wynn. Mason Wynn's shown off some good power. He's shown some times where he can hit, but like his hit tool and all of his offensive profile is behind. But what keeps you locked in? Your defense. And Carson Williams is that type of guy. If he continues to show low strikeout numbers, I think that's going to work really well for him. What I've seen in him, I think he's going to chase stuff. I think he's going to have low batting averages long-term in the season. And it's going to be, he's going to have to continue doing this. He's going to have to maximize with loudness every hit that he does put in. I mean, 45 hits so far this year, and he's got 21 extra base hits. That's pretty impressive. That's actually pretty impressive. So yeah, that's, I think Volpe is starting to feel like, I think he's actually a little bit less of less of a hitter than Volpe, but I think that's like the profile I'm starting to look at with Carson Williams. But I think you and I both share the kind of questionable, like, is he going to, you know, is this going to continuously materialize? I'd love to see him go to AAA, but I also just wouldn't be shocked if he jumped to the majors. That's why I had brought him up. Number two on the list.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! Josue De La Pala with the Dodgers finally kind of getting it going because the season has been a little bit quiet. 257 average. OBP has been pretty good. Strikeouts have been over 25%, which you don't love. Walking double-digit percentage of the time. He hits the ball really hard, but it hasn't been consistent. It's been doubles type of power, but he's learning and he is adjusting. As a matter of fact, this past week, Tim, all of his homers on the season have come from this last week. So he's starting to click. What say you on Josue De La Pala?
Yeah, four bombs this week. We'll take it. So 6 for 21, the four bombs, another double thrown in there. And he has four steals too. And he's a big dude. I'm actually kind of surprised that he's running that much because he just looks bigger than and like less athletic than he actually is, in my opinion. Because sometimes when I look at him, I'm like, he just looks like he's going to be like a future Yordan because just his body type, like size wise. But I think he's more athletic, almost like a big James Wood or Jordan Walker type. Like even though he's big, he's got like some more athleticism in there. Or do you think that the speed that we're seeing right now is just more about him being younger and it's the minor leagues and it's kind of easy to run?
I kind of think that from seeing him in person, like it's a big lower half. I get why people call him Baby Yordan because he has like a physical presence that's similar. He's got like a big lower half that you know is going to kind of continuously grow and get a little bit bigger. I don't think what do you think the optimist on stolen bases are for him?
15.
Yeah, the optimist. Was that you or what do you think the mindset, the hive mind of him, the upside that people are building in? You think it's more than 15?
I think people might be, because if you just extrapolate what he's done in the minors, because last year he had 14, the year before at DSL he had 16. So when people see those totals, they're going to think, oh, this guy can run. And he didn't even, like 14 steals and 3 caught stealing last year. So that when you see that 14 and 3, you're like, oh, look, he's like actually a pretty good runner. Only caught 3 times, ran 14 times in half of a season or whatever, complex, you know, A ball, half a season of A ball. So, oh, maybe that means he's a 25 plus stolen base guy. Because if you're just looking at the numbers and extrapolating, that's what you're going to see. But I just don't, I mean, like maybe he's just a really smart base runner because even this year, he has not been caught stealing yet in 4-0. So, I mean, we saw years of Albert Pujols get 15 steals and never get caught. And Albert Pujols was slow as crap. So, I mean, it just might be he's a really smart baseball player and the steals might have more to do with his baseball IQ than they do his actual like physical ability and probably what he's going to project into.
Yeah. My take always with him is that he's going to grow out of it. I think new rules of baseball leave open the opportunity that anybody can steal more bases, but I don't know. I think it could go the way of like Josh Naylor stealing bases. Like, I don't view DePaula as like a next Ellie type of player, or you know, it might be similar to like O'Neill Cruz. That might be a better set. Like O'Neill Cruz, like he might steal 2025. I think DePaula is a 10 to 15 in the early years. I think the power is going to develop. But what we haven't seen, and this is why I think it's key with him, we haven't seen the turn from the doubles hitter into the big power hitter. And I think that's what we're kind of waiting for, if he's going to be this, you know, this big number four power hitter. But, you know, things are trending in the right direction for DePaula, where I think everybody is kind of sitting on guys like Walcott and DePaula. And, you know, why are they not exploding onto the scene? And it's like, well, now this is why those ranks were there. Number three, love to see him in double A because we want to see him get challenged. Augustin Ramirez with the Yankees, catcher Augustin Ramirez, hitting 285 on the year. Absolute power output. We're going to actually talk about two of the big young power mashers so far this year. 12 home runs this season, probably unobtainable 8 stolen bases. But Ramirez is flying up the system. And actually, one of those guys I wouldn't have been shocked if could maybe get a look this year if the team didn't have Ben Rice ahead of him. So maybe this is going to actually be an Arizona Fall League candidate for them to press him a little bit more, get some more at bats to prepare for next year. But Augustin Ramirez has been an absolute, with an offensive onslaught, also to mention under 20% K percentage and very high walk rate, an almost 3.46 slash on the year. What do you think on Ramirez?
I like him. I think the power is real. Like you mentioned, 8 steals is pretty unrealistic because he's kind of like a shorter, bigger dude, and you'd never see catchers really run like that unless they're super athlete types like JT Realmuto. So I doubt we're going to see like Carter Jensen-like steals from him really in the future, but love the plate approach.